Kevin, good to see you, buddy. I'm just passing these out because I forgot to pass them out when you were all coming in. It's my excuse. If you were here last week, these may look familiar, and if not, I'll explain them a little bit later on. But we wrap up a series today, and this will be helpful in that end when we get to that point. Did you get a bulletin, everybody? If not, there's some on that back table. And one thing I want to let you know about is that today, if you don't have lunch plans, you should hang out with us, because there's a group of folks sticking around after worship here. There you go, sir. And we are going to have lunch here in this building right after the branch is done. And then we're going to go and worship with Alas at 1 o'clock, which means we're staying here as well, in case you didn't know that. They are here too. And if you don't know who Alas Conexión is, Alas is the church plant that started in this building, 6 months ago or so. Hard to believe. And we are supporting them in this really tangible way, really because they asked us to. They said, we're still kind of figuring things out and still growing, and we wouldn't mind if you had some people that came and just were an encouragement by their presence. So if you don't have lunch plans, now you do. Stick around. Hang out with us. If you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't bring any food to eat, no problem. Trust me, we have extra. So no big deal. We'll cover you. All right, we are going to be in 2 Corinthians 9. If you want to grab a Bible, you can, or if you got one on your phone, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. So just heads up on that. If you are finding it on your phone and you want to read along word for word, the NLT is the translation I'm using this morning. 2 Corinthians 9. We are at the end of a series today that we've been calling Consumed. And today is going to be a day of kind of summary. I'm going to recap just a couple of things that I think we've been saying in different ways throughout the last 7 weeks. But I want to highlight them again from this passage. And then we're going to celebrate. Because last week, a number of people filled out these beautiful things. And we're going to celebrate that at the end and have a chance to do it ourselves too. But let's read here. Let's get started. 2 Corinthians 9. We're going to start in verse 6. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And here in chapter 9, he's writing about an offering that he wants to take from Corinth, from the people of Corinth, to the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem at this moment in time has been hit pretty hard. It's probably an understatement, by persecution. And so this is an opportunity for the people in Corinth to collect some funds that will go to Jerusalem and provide some just basic things that the church needs there. So this is kind of the context that Paul's writing about, is this collection, this offering for the church in Jerusalem. And he says this in verse 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. So again, two thoughts to kind of bring this whole series to a close this morning. They come from this passage, and the first one is this, that our generosity, we can't forget this, our generosity finds its starting place in God's generosity. Our generosity finds its starting place in God's generosity. Look again at verse 8 here a second. Verse 8, and listen to where we find the origin of our generosity. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Isn't that great? Your generosity does not start and is not fundamentally dependent on you. Think about that for a moment. You ever feel like sometimes when we come to this, you know, conversation around generosity, do you ever feel like you've just got to kind of roll up your sleeves and scrape together what you can and find a way somehow, some way to give back a little bit of what, right? You ever feel that way? Like it's all on you? Make no mistake, living with an open hand and heart is a choice we must make. But our generosity begins, it finds its starting place in God's generosity to us. Verse 8 is an incredible promise. God will provide generously all you need. Bethany was talking about promises as we sang. That's an incredible promise that God makes to you. God will generously provide all you need. Now note, it does not say that God will generously provide all you want. That's an important distinction, yes? But God will generously provide all you need, so much so that you will have enough left over to share with others. God is generous to us, and that allows us to be generous with other people. Paul comes at this idea again in verses 10 and 11, just in case we're thick, and we usually are. So he comes at it again in verses 10 and 11. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. One of the things that I've felt like God has been saying to me throughout this series is that I think God has just been highlighting for me the way in which I can easily go through life believing that I don't have enough. That what I have just isn't enough. And if I could just get more, then I could be generous. Anybody ever feel this way? You find yourself with an opportunity to be generous and you find this dialogue happening in you like, well, what if we give that away? Whatever that is, if we give it away, will we have enough for ourselves? Right? We operate from, I think, so often a position of scarcity. Bethany and I have been talking a lot about this. Like, we just don't have enough. It's gonna, if we, we'll have none left for ourselves. But the farmer never locks her seed in the closet and says, well, because I'm not sure if I'll have enough, I'm just going to kind of keep it stored up. The farmer, if they want to harvest, what must they do? They must sow the seed. They must. So I think God's call to us is to be generous today. Not waiting for life's conditions to become perfect, as if they ever do. I think God calls us to be generous today, now. And I would bet that if you were to look at your life, I have no doubt you would find something that you have been given excess of so that you could give it away. And you may be saying, Chris, you have no idea what my finances are. How could you ever say that? Well, maybe your finances aren't it right now. Maybe not. What else in your life have you been given? As we sang, the very breath in our lungs is a gift from God. What have you been given generously so that you could give it away? Listen to these words from Jesus. I think they're so important to kind of keep coming back to. Just listen. I'm not even going to tell you where it's from, so you have no choice but to just kind of take the words in. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. For your heavenly Father gives them everything that they need. And aren't you infinitely more valuable than those birds? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. If God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. The thing about generosity is that it requires trust, doesn't it? I think that's why it's so hard. One of the reasons, anyway. It requires trust. If you and I are to live open-handedly, if we're to give away our lives freely, I'm not talking about like giving away a sliver of your life, but if you live open-handedly, you will find yourself likely in a place where you have no choice but to trust God's provision. That's the thing about when you give away just a sliver of your life, you don't have to trust God. You've got plenty left. But if we live the way that Jesus invites us to live, if we give away what we've been given so generously, we find ourselves in a place where we have to go, "All right, God, now you've got to show up again. Now you've got to provide for me again." I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago about this series, and they were just remarking on their effort to try and give away a portion of their income and how hard it is. Because they were saying to me that when they do the math and they look at what they could have for themselves if they had not given away a portion of their income, it's fairly staggering. Not like they make a lot of money, but over time, like, it adds up. And they're just saying to themselves, "Jeez, the savings account could be really big. So big, in fact, that we could probably have most anything come our way and be fine." And they were just remarking about how easy it is for them to put their trust in a savings account. Not that savings accounts are evil, or that having some money put away for emergencies is a bad thing. Like, don't mishear me. But they were talking about how their security was so easily going to rest in this sum of money. And so the discipline for them of giving away, regularly finding ways to be generous, was helping them to put their trust in God. If God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. as we wrap up this series, I want to just pause here for a moment and give us a chance to reflect on God's care for us, because I don't think we can be generous unless we are confident in God's provision in our lives. Right? If we're constantly fearful and worrying and anxious that we won't have enough, it's nearly impossible to let go. So what I want to invite you to do, I think Andy did this last week too. I was downstairs with the kiddos, so not totally sure, but I think I heard that this happened. So I want to invite you to put your hands, palms up, and just rest them on your lap. This is not a terribly charismatic thing to do. You can do it. Trust me. I know this is out of your comfort zone perhaps. And when we've done this before, and often we do this as a sign of saying that we are willing to give away, right? We're willing to live open-handedly. But I was thinking this morning, to do this is not only to say I'm willing to give away, I'm also ready to receive. And so I want us to just focus on that receive part. And I want you to just think for a moment. What is it that you need to receive? Where are you struggling to trust God's provision in your life? And name it. And talk to God about it in these next few moments. And then, as best you can, open your heart to receiving this truth that God will generously provide all you need. Receive God's care this morning. Because our generosity begins, it finds its starting place in God's generosity to us. You are cared for infinitely more than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And God's promise is that you will be provided for. The next thing to consider for just a moment, if that's where our generosity begins, then it grows through small steps of obedience. And just listen again to verses 6 and verse 13, which I think get at this idea. Remember this, Paul writes, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And then down in verse 13, as a result of your ministry, the people in Jerusalem will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. See, generosity is an act of obedience. And I love the analogy that Paul draws on here of a farmer sowing seeds. And I love it, maybe especially because this spring we've planted a garden. We've had pots of this or, you know, a couple of plants of that along the way, but we actually got in what could be considered a garden this year. And a lot of it we planted from seed. There is something incredible about planting a seed. It reminds you of the way that our world works. I mean, imagine if somehow you found a person who did not know that planting a seed in the ground produced a harvest. Imagine if you could find someone who missed that in biology and never had any sense that that's how food came to be. And you showed them this ridiculously small thing and said to them, guess what? This thing, it's going to produce baskets of tomatoes. They would laugh, wouldn't they? They would find that comical, astounding, maybe, miraculous. And then what if you said, oh yeah, and by the way, to get this thing, you have to let go of it. You know, in order to produce a harvest, you have to let go and bury it in the ground. Like, what? No way. Putting a seed in the ground and trusting that it will become something far greater than if you had held it in your hand is such a simple, small act of obedience. But when we are obedient in the small things, I think it opens the door to the possibility of a harvest. God takes our small acts, our small planting of generosity, whatever that looks like, and expands them miraculously. And someone's life is blessed. Someone's needs are met. A community, an organization grows. I mean, whatever it is, God produces a harvest. And I think when we see that harvest happening, it expands our capacity for generosity the next time around. If you've ever planted a seed of generosity and watched it grow, I promise you it will encourage your heart. It will probably transform you so that the next time there's an opportunity to plant, it'll be easier because you know the miracle that can come from that small act of obedience. I think there are times when God doesn't just ask us to take a step, but God asks us to leap forward in our generosity. I think those times do come in our lives. But more often than not, I think that our capacity for generosity grows through small steps. And I wonder what step God may be asking you to take. If you were here last week, you already started to think about that. In fact, many of you wrote those things down. And I want you to, if you weren't here last week, I want you to grab this thing right now. And what we're going to do to close is we're going to do three things. And I'll start with C, because that's the way I am. We're going to celebrate. We're going to confess. We're going to commit. First thing I want to do is celebrate. Because again, a number of people wrote down ways that they were, steps that they were going to take to be generous. And I'm not going to share anyone's name here, but I just want to celebrate with you some of the things that people said last week. And if you weren't here last week, they can be an encouragement to you as you maybe consider what step God might be calling you to take. But there were a lot of people, interesting, who wrote down the first kind of check boxes, I'll stop spending on blank so that I'll have blank each month to give away. A lot of people put down things like, I'll stop spending on coffee. And that really hit me in the heart. I was like, yeah, I get that one. Okay. You know, or I will stop buying iPad games, someone said. Simple stuff, right? And our iPad games and cups of coffee, evil, not even close. But people were realizing that adds up $60 a month, $100 a month, $150 a month. What if I took that money and repurposed it in a way that God was inviting me to? So a lot of people wrote stuff like that down. I loved it. There were a few people, I think three or four, that said that they were going to start giving or increase their giving from zero to X. They filled in different amounts. And I just thought about how remarkable that was, that there were people right here who were saying, you know what, I'm not giving anything right now. I hear God saying to me that if I change that, a harvest will come. I want that in my life. And so they're saying, I'm going to go from zero to X. And no one wrote like $10 million in the X line, right? They were just kind of normal amounts, like, but significant for them. I loved it. In the time one, again, like some common themes. I can't tell you how many people wrote down, I'm going to cut back on social media. It was really interesting to see that. People realizing that social media is not evil, again, for the fifth time today I'm saying this, but just to make it clear, right, like these things in our lives are not evil, but I'm spending 8 hours a month, 10 hours a month. Someone wrote down 100 hours a month on social media. And they're hearing God say to them, what if I repurposed that time and used it to be generous towards others. I love that. I loved it. People who are committing to pray for their neighbors, pray for single moms, pray for family members that they were estranged from. People committing to spend their time in that way of generosity. Just simple steps, not insignificant steps, but simple steps that people decided to make last week. I want to celebrate those things. Amen? They are not insignificant. So if you wrote down something last week, bravo. Bravo. And if you want to write something down this week, bravo to you too. We'll celebrate in advance for that step that you may hear God calling you to take. Money, time, you can write down something here. And then when you open it up, it says love, which is really what this whole thing is about. God's love for us, God's generosity towards us, and our ability to love and be generous towards others. If you didn't fill one out last week, I strongly encourage you in the next few minutes here to do that. And Andy challenged people, I think rightly so, down at the bottom to put their name. There's something about signing. And Andy said this last week, really almost anything that you do in life that's significant, you have to sign your name. So you don't have to. You want to be anonymous, you totally can. We are not going to collect these, enter them into an Excel spreadsheet and track you down, right? Like don't, everyone can relax about that. So if you want it to be anonymous, cool. There's something maybe significant about signing your name and saying, this is my commitment. We want to celebrate that. And then when you come up for communion today, you can just lay it here on the altar, love side up, so that no one sees it, right? And just bring it as an offering. Want to celebrate today. Want to confess, because maybe you wrote something down last week and you've already blown it. You went down and had that, you know, had five cups of coffee in one day and it was just, you just blew money out the door and whatever. Or you didn't cut out social media. So that maybe this is an opportunity to just say, okay, that was a little bit harder than I thought it was going to be. Right? So God, I confess that it didn't go as well as I wanted to. But I commit again to you. I hear you saying to me to live more generously, and so I'm going to do that today. So celebrate, confess, commit. These are kind of the ideas here as we close. And then again, we'll take this meal together. We'll share this with one another. And this meal, as we probably have said most weeks along the way, is a beautiful reminder of God's generosity to us. Where does our generosity begin? In God's generosity. And here is a picture of God's generosity toward us. So what we're going to do is just take 3 or 4 minutes, and you're welcome to come forward if you'd like. You can bring this with you if you want to. And of course, you're welcome to tear off a piece of bread and to dip it in the cup. And we'll kind of form two lines here and come up to the table and receive this gift that God so generously gives to us. So let me pray. Let me pray for us and then we'll begin. You can stay right where you are and reflect. You can come forward and take communion. You can come forward and bring a commitment. Whatever you do, may these next few moments be moments in which you engage with God, embrace his generosity, and prepare to be generous in return. Let's pray. God, we want to live with our hands open. We do not want to be people consumed with the pursuit of more. We do not want to be people consumed with worry that we don't have enough. We do not want to be people who hold tightly to the gifts that you've given to us. We want to be people who live with open hands. and in these next few minutes. God, we pray that we each would take a small step of obedience toward that end. Whatever that looks like for us, God, and it's all going to be a little different for each one of us, whatever it looks like, help us, give us the courage to take that step today. And then together, God, we celebrate. We celebrate with joy and gladness the steps that are taken. We give you thanks that you, in fact, do change our hearts. We give you praise that, in fact, we can live differently. We don't have to be bound by more. We can be consumed instead by you and your Spirit. Meet us in these moments, Jesus. Speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, and then help us to give back our hearts and our lives to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.